Welcome to the ICE's South Branch podcast with me, your host, Nathaniel Pickett. In this podcast, I'll be interviewing a range of guests about the latest projects, ideas and methods in civil engineering. To find out more about the latest events in the branch or this podcast, follow us on Twitter at ICE_South Branch or search ICE South Branch on LinkedIn. In this episode, we talk about inclusion, diversity, and the improvement of the career pathways for Eng Techs and how our guest is driving forward that vision. Hello and welcome to this episode of the ICE South Branch podcast. This episode, I'm joined by the chair of Kent and East Sussex. Starting her career working for her father in steel fabrication, she then moved on to working in the ore refining industry. After a stint there, she now works for Berry Range, a specialist in sheet piling. So thank you, Sue Hawkes, for coming on to the podcast. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Before we start moving and talking about sort of the work you're doing currently, it'd be really interesting to look back actually on what made you want to work in the construction industry.
It was by accident originally. I went from school to Maidstone Art School, which is no longer there, because I intended going down the artistry route for my career. I did a one-year foundation course, and at the end of the year, I was going to go on to do a two-year photography course. But my father was running his business, and they needed an extra pair of hands there. Neither of my two brothers were interested in going to work for him. So I thought, well, okay, I'll give it a go and see how things are. And I absolutely loved it. Never looked back.
What was it that you did in your father's company?
Basically, I did the office work. I was running the office, answering the telephone, receptionist duties. But I was also doing practically all of the drawing works. My father taught me to do technical drawing. And he taught me the way that they actually use technical drawing within the company. And so I took it over and, I absolutely loved it.
And you, as you said, you haven't looked back. And the jobs you moved on from that, is that continuing doing drawing and CAD technician work?
Yes, it's most of the time it's been CAD technician work. And there was a time when I was doing estimating because jobs were a bit hard to come by at the time. So rather than get out of the industry altogether, I kept my hand in, so went estimating. But then they started getting me to do a bit of drawing work as well, and so I kept my hand in with the drawing work. And then now I work for Berry Range, and it's pure drawing.
And I guess you sort of started off as an artist, and this ability to do construction drawing sort of brings two sort of your interests together in one.
The whole thing about my whole life is I wanted to do something with art. That's all I was interested in. Art was my favourite subject at school. And now I'm drawing and getting paid for it. Who could ask for more?
It really is. It's a vocation.
It is.
Of a job. I think something important to mention is that you are Eng Tech, is that correct?
That's right. Yes, I am Eng Tech. I did the professional qualification in 2018 with the ICE. I was encouraged to do that by one of my colleagues. He was my mentor.
Yes.
Stuart Briggs, and he said, you can do Eng Tech. And I thought, oh, can I? So I looked into it and started progressing down the route of going for the professional review. I had everybody in the office listen to my presentation about 5 times, and they all gave me feedback and put in extra bits and pieces. And in the end, I went for professional review, and luckily I passed.
Amazing. And was that the start of your journey with the Institute of Civil Engineers as well?
It was, basically, yes. I did my professional review, and when I came out of the actual interview, I wasn't very happy. I thought, there's no way I have passed this, because I felt that they were setting the questions way too high for my level. And I thought, I need to change this. I'm a bit of an active person. When I get a bone in my mouth, I run with it. But I decided to become a reviewer, and the ICE accepted me as a reviewer in order to bring the level of question into technician level. The more technician reviewers there are within the ICE, the better it is for technicians to actually go for their professional review, because although you need to be pushed with the questioning, there is a level at which you just think, no, that's not me. And it's a little bit unfair when you're questioned at a level that's higher than your grade. So yes. I wanted to change things, and that's why I got involved with that.
That's amazing. And I think it's worth mentioning as well. I did mention at the start, I do apologise, that you're the chair of Kent and East Sussex branch.
I am indeed, yes.
As well as being the technical representative for the southeast of England.
Yes. Well, I started out being technician rep for the Kent and East Sussex branch, and then they asked me to take on technician rep for the southeast region, which I did, and I was absolutely loved doing that. And then Martin Quarters, who was the chair at the time of the Kent and East Sussex branch, said, would I be interested in being vice chair for the following year? So I said, yes, I would. So I became vice chair for the following year and then stepped up to chair last year. It's absolutely fantastic. And I'm actually taking on the chairship of the branch again for next year.
That's amazing.
Our vice chair couldn't step up, so I'm carrying on for another year.
And that's amazing. I think that's a great success story there, saying that actually you don't need to be a fully chartered member to be involved with the ICU committees wherever you are. But more importantly, being a technical member, you can sit as the chair for your local branch.
Absolutely. President of the ICE, here I come.
Exactly. There is no limit. And I mean, that really moves on to the first topic of discussion that we'd like to talk about, is improving the profession for the technician. We touched on it before about becoming a professional reviewer. Would you like to expand upon it a bit?
Yes, absolutely. When you become an EngTech member of the ICE, as a technician, it seems that is as far as you can go. Now, a lot of people use EngTech as a stepping stone on their journey to becoming fully qualified engineers, the next step being iEng, and then the highest pinnacle obviously being cEng, which is absolutely fine. But for technicians that are career technicians, as I call us, there is no professional qualification. You get to EngTech, and then you've either got to become iEng, which is changing your career to engineering, or you just stay as EngTech. And it's devalued to a certain extent, because people coming through from apprenticeships and HNDs and HNCs going for EngTech are all at the same level as somebody who's been working in the industry for 10, 20, 30 years with EngTech. You can't differentiate between the two. They're both EngTech, and that to me is unfair.
And I think it'd be a good time to sort of cast back to a previous podcast I did with John Moran, and he talks about the technician role really being the brain cells, the powerhouse of really detailed technical information, and that those engineers looking to go chartered and onwards really need to learn to rely on the technician role to provide that detail, especially where we're having gluts of information with the drawings and models we're creating, that it's actually the technicians that can provide the solutions and the answers.
Absolutely, because the technicians have the capability and the dedication to learning all there is about BIM and Revit and all the other 3D softwares, and they can create the model. And from the model, you can extract all the information that you could possibly need. And technicians are the ones who drive that model more so than engineers. Engineers can do it, but because technicians are doing it all the time, they've got the expertise and they can do it faster. So that's why the engineers rely on the technicians, because they can, although engineers can do it, technicians can do it faster, and that's productivity.
Yes, and that's what really drives the industry, is the efficiency, the productivity of the construction process. So you talk about you cap out, you know, once you become a technician member. What is your sort of ideas about how you would improve that, remove that cap, and show the experience and the seniority you gain as a technician throughout your career?
Well, I have been talking to the Institution of Civil Engineers about this possibility. I did a presentation to the UK Regional Affairs Committee recently. and they are all in sort of agreement that there is a gap. So I'm hoping that not only the ICE, but other institutions as well, will look at the possibility of creating a professional qualification route for engineering technicians. Why not incorporated engineering technician? Why not chartered engineering technician? Obviously comes from the Engineering Council, and I don't see any reason why it couldn't be taken to the Engineering Council and show them that there is a gap, because I think they would also be on board.
I'm in very much agreement. You put a very, very compelling argument and very, very logical and well thought out reasoning behind it. So what's the next step for you now you've talked to the ICE about it? Have they talked? UCRAC talked to you about that?
Yes, the ICE, I'm hoping to get some feedback from them very soon about what they would like, where they were going to see this going. Whether it will be an internal thing with the ICE or whether it will be through the Engineering Council, that I'm not sure. But if that doesn't happen, then I will be writing to the Engineering Council and asking them to look at the possibility of creating this professional qualification route. Because I really do think it's important for technicians to feel valued. Because otherwise they are going to get resentful. And I mean, there's probably approximately 3,000 members, technician members of the ICE at the moment. Mm. And they are EngTech members.
Yes.
Well, that's freezing them out because there's nowhere else for them to go apart from engineer. And I know there are a lot of companies who encourage their technicians to go on to become iEng purely because that's the route for professional improvement.
Yeah.
And that's the only route for professional improvement.
Yes. And I think it might not be the route for the individuals who want to do it. And actually having something specialized more towards the technician line is the better solution.
Absolutely. I mean, technicians work in so many different areas.
Yes.
There are people out on site working as technicians, or there are people out on site working in particular roles that would only be seen as technician. They're not engineering level, although they've got a very good engineering knowledge and experience and skill. They don't have the professional qualification to back that up. And therefore, for them to become EngTech, that gives them the professional qualification to show they do know what they're talking about.
Now that's incredible. And actually, Sue, you're really demonstrating that the ICE is there for its members. And if you want change, that it's the members who drive the change, not the ICE itself. You are the ICE. So I think a little bit of a sub-message on the side of this improving the profession for the technicians is that if you see there is a way that the ICE can be better, grab it by the horns and get out there and do it. You know, the sky is the limit. And the ICE is here to serve its membership.
Absolutely. It is a membership-led institution, and therefore the members should be driving it.
Yeah. Now, talking about sort of technicians getting involved with the ICE, with Berry Ridge, you are actually Berry Range, correction. There we go. With Berry Range, you're actually trained to be the disability rep, and you have quite an interest in diversity and inclusivity.
Yes, indeed. This all stems from years ago when a friend of mine had a daughter who had she had Asperger's, and she went through college and she got her qualifications. She struggled, but she got there. And then when she went to the to get help to get with a job, they told her, "You'll never work." And that really hit a note with me because she's perfectly capable of working. And I've also met on my journey lots of other people who have varying different ranges of disability. I say disability, it's a horrible word. It's a very disempowering word.
Yes.
Challenges is what I prefer.
Yeah.
So I've met people with various different challenges. And there is no reason why they can't get jobs in the industry doing what they want to do. The industry has to change to make allowances. And over the last year, I was doing some recorded presentations by various people at different levels who are some are members of the ICE, some are not, but they're all working within the industry at various different levels, and they all have various different challenges. We had dyslexia, we had autism, we had Asperger's, we had ADHD, we had gentlemen in a wheelchair. There was altogether, I've done 10 of these presentations with people with various different challenges, and they are all at the top of their career. They've all got phenomenal qualifications. They are absolutely amazing people because they've got what we class as superhuman brains, because they think outside the box. They don't think in the way that you or I might think.
Yes.
One of the ladies who did a presentation, Carol Feeney, she said she could be sitting in a room, she solved the problem, and somebody else would say to her, we're only just getting to thinking about how we're going to solve the problem, and you've already solved it. How have you done that? Which is an absolutely amazing phenomena, but that's how her brain works. It just races. So she has to rein it in and then come up with the way she got to the answer.
Because so working already, backwards, where most of us have to work forwards.
Exactly. But it just shows that people such as that have got these amazing brains, and our industry needs to make use of people with those brains, because they can come up with such amazing solutions, and very, very quickly, very valid in this day and age.
Oh, you talked about recording these presentations. Are they available to watch online?
They are available on the ICE website. If you go into the archive, they are all there. And at the end of the I'm going to do a couple more presentations once I get them all lined up. At the end of that session, I will then be doing a video with snippets from each of those recordings. And that video I'm going to send to special needs schools, to their secondary departments, in order to encourage their students to think about engineering as a career.
Yes.
Because that's they don't get that much encouragement to actually think about engineering as a career. And they really should, because they are absolutely fantastic.
Yes, I mean, I'm statemented, I have dyslexia. And actually, engineering has always been something that's interested me, because it pulls together two of my greatest strengths, which is sort of practical problem solving and mathematics, with a bit of physics thrown in there as well, which is sort of some big interests. So it's truly incredible that you've come across these people, and you're again fighting for another great cause and pushing the institution, but our industry forwards, and really getting the talent that we need to succeed.
Absolutely. And it's all part of STEM ambassadorship as well, because if I can take these videos into schools and show the students of today or the students of tomorrow that they can become engineers despite having challenges or because of challenges, then my job's done. And that's what I'd like to do.
That's incredible. And I really look forward to seeing this showreel, as probably is one term of doing it, of from your presentations to inspire the next generation of engineers, and to realize that you may have challenges, but those challenges also bring great strength to a team, and will make a fulfilling career if you do decide to come to the construction industry. The sort of final thing I'd love to talk about is being a member of the ICE. I think you've demonstrated, and I touched on it a little bit earlier, that it is, and we talked about it earlier, is that it is an institution that's run by its members, and that members can drive change. Would you like to expand a little bit more upon that?
Yeah. When I joined the ICE, I knew nothing, basically. But I've used it as a stepping stone to move forward. My career has really taken off, although I'm still with Berry Range, and I have been for the last 5 years. I feel that my personal growth has been enormous because of the knowledge and the assistance and meeting so many different people within the ICE. And when I was first asked, would I like to do professional qualification at EngTech, I thought, well, what's in it for me? And a lot of people do actually ask, what's in it for me? And what I would say to people is, what's in it for you is, first of all, self-esteem. It shows you that you do know what you're talking about. And it also gets you recognition by other people to say, yes, you do know what you're talking about. When I first got my professional qualification, I was sending out emails to clients and they were coming back to the managers within the company. Well, now I send that emails to clients and they come back to me. Yes. Because I've got those letters after my name. So that has been a really important thing for me as being a member of the ICE. And the opportunities that the ICE has given me to meet people at networking events, to the knowledge events that they put on, is absolutely phenomenal. And also there's the Ben Fund, which is the charity that runs alongside the ICE, which is there for people who are struggling in some way, shape or form, whether it's health problems, financial problems, housing problems. There's all sorts of issues that the Ben Fund will actually help out with too. And that's all part of the ICE, which, because being a member of the ICE, you have access to that. And that's absolutely wonderful. Where else would you get that kind of thing?
I mean, that's brilliant. And we had the Bender Fund on a previous episode. And it's quite an interesting one. You talk about this diversity and inclusivity, is that the Ben Fund actually has grants available for students who have learning challenges to assist them through their university degree in education in engineering.
Fantastic. I wasn't aware of that, so that's really good.
That's fantastic. That's a brilliant takeaway point from this. I mean, I'm learning loads, so I'm grateful that I can give back to you in that way. I'll definitely pass that information across to you. And if you do, anyone listening to this, please take your time and listen to that podcast, because it was really illuminating about what the Ben Fund does for the institution. And it's only one, though it's not part of the Institute of Civil Engineers, it's only one sort of fraction of what being a member of the institution brings.
Absolutely. One of the really big things that the ICE, being a member of the ICE, brings is the networking opportunities, because you can meet some people from so many different walks of life that you never really imagined. And you get involved with projects that you'd never even thought of. And you walk along the street and you say, I was involved in that one. And when you see these massive, great projects out there that you were involved with, it's so heartwarming.
It's, yeah, you leave your mark and legacy, professional legacy in the real world. And I think that's one of the big attractions for construction.
Absolutely. Brilliant.
Sue, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I mean, my key thing is technicians. I really want to improve the professional qualification system for technicians. And if I can get that up and running, then I will have left my legacy, so to speak. But people have tried this before, and it always seems to have been pushed under the carpet. Well, I won't go away. I am here to stay, and I'm hoping that the ICE will listen, because it's not just me. There are 3,000 members of the ICE, and there are people out there who are not members of the ICE who could be, potentially. So if the ICE could open up that professional qualification journey for people who are senior technicians and junior and assistant technicians who have gone that further step, who have been working in the industry for many years, and provide that professional qualification journey, I think that will increase the technician membership. And that can only be a good thing.
I mean, Sue, that is an incredible summary. It's been brilliant to have you on the podcast. We've talked about many things, particularly the improvement of the qualification process for technical members. Also, the great work you do for improving the reputation of the construction industry and encouraging those with learning challenges to get involved in our great industry of civil engineering, be it promoting through STEM or engaging with those in the profession who have learning challenges and have excelled within the industry. But also talking about the benefits of membership, talking about how members can drive change, but also the networking opportunities within it and the opportunities to expand your professional knowledge and know-how. Sue, it's incredible. I'm so grateful that you've taken this time to come to this podcast, and you've inspired me to be a more active member within the institution. I hope you inspire other people.
Thank you very much. If I can do that, that's my job done. Thank you very much, Nathaniel. Thank you.
Perfect. Cheers. Now that's it, really. That's relatively painless.
Thank you. It's good.
Sue, I'm generally, I didn't even know you did all these things, and it's brilliant.
When you sum up like that, it sounds like an awful lot.
It is an awful lot.
I'm just me.
You're only a little old as you, but you are a powerhouse. I was half tempted to say, sue for council. So, that is, if you can find the time amongst all your other things.
I have been thinking about it, because there isn't actually a technician member on the council.
Oh, well, that's the next one. I mean, I'm fighting for graduate membership stuff, but there is a graduate member on council, but that's pretty wrong, actually. I'll have to have a chat with Norman, who's our council rep down in South.
He knows of my desire now.
He does. Well,
I came
up
in a meeting the other day.
Well, if you want another person to say that, they support it, then you can definitely mention my name in that as well.
Thank you.
I'll support you in that, because that is a proper and right thing to do. And I really am excited to hear about this professional technician membership route and see how that expands. And I hope you just knock down every barrier they put up, if they do inadvertently put them up. I think people get...
I'm hoping that barriers are already down, that they're allowing me to go through, and we're going to progress to the next stage.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, they just don't like change. It's not they don't like the idea, it's just the change. They're like, oh, no, you've always done it this way. And so fighting against that is a worthy cause.
Yeah, one thing we didn't mention, actually, is the fact that there are now... I started a technician tea break for the ICA, and that's a monthly thing. But there's now a Northern Ireland technician meeting, and there's now a Wales technician meeting, and there's soon to be a York and Humber.
Amazing.
Humberside.
Well, Sue, if you could send me, could you do me a massive favour? Could you send me the link for that on the ICA website, as well as your presentations? And I'll include them in the description for the podcast.
Okay, we'll do.
And it's brilliant having you on. And if you make progress and you feel like you want to share your message again, because the message, it's evolved and it's gone forwards, then please do reach out to me and we'll get you back on the podcast.
Okay, lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the ICE South Branch podcast with me, your host, Nathaniel Pickett. If you've enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, families and colleagues. You can also find out about the latest branch events and news by following us on Twitter at ICE_South Branch or search ICE South Branch on LinkedIn.